a family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Hey, it's going good, Scott. I am finally catching up. You know, last week I was pretty under the weather.
You sound perkier today.
I feel perkier. Even though, on a sad note, Scott, you know, last week we talked about Chico sticks and manatees. You did know about manatees. You didn't know about Chico sticks. This is the sad note.
And neither did a friend of mine. A new listener named John, who was like, Chico sticks? What are those?
We need to maybe have a little contest for a bag of Chico sticks. I was looking up manatees because my brother Kent is, you know, into manatees now. And I just saw that Snooty, the oldest living manatee, just died like a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago. This manatee was in the South Florida Museum down in Bradenton, Florida, and they added this little manatee to their aquarium thing in 1948, and it was 69 years old, and I won't tell you about it. It's a gruesome death a door was left open somewhere, and all these manatees kind of swam in, like, under the water, and because they have to breathe air, and Snooty, because he was an old big fat guy, couldn't get back through, and he succumbed. He drowned, I guess.
Not to be disrespectful or confrontational, but how do they know he was actually the oldest? I mean, couldn't there have been an older one somewhere out there?
There could have been. All right. I think if you cut him in half, you can count their rings. and I'm not sure. We might have to double check on that one. Now, there could be an older one, you know, like in the wild, but I'm going to assume in the wild, you don't live as long.
Yeah, they're kind of slow. I'm guessing they get eaten.
I would think so, or hit by a boat. So anyway. Hey, and I am already, yesterday I started working on the calendar on yesterday. I've got a month under my belt already. So thanks to you dads who've sent me some ideas. If you got some more ideas, send them my way. Scott, have you made any big plans for August the 21st? Because that is the solar eclipse.
I have not made any big plans for that.
Me either. But lots of dads have. I've had several dads write me and say they are driving like halfway across the country to get a better vantage point of the solar eclipse. Even though I was in Walmart last night, and I saw even Walmart is selling solar eclipse glasses.
True that you can like go blind if you look at it without the right, I don't know, eyeglasses or whatever?
I don't know if you can go blind.
Because they scared us as kids from looking at it.
I know they did. I say you give it a shot, Scott, and report back.
Thanks. I'll try to work on that.
They were right. I am blind now. No, I don't know if you can go blind, but you can get your solar glasses. And I know my son has a welding helmet, so we might use that. We're just going to view it from good old Milford, Indiana, and see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm Googling it because I want to know. Can you go blind?
Hey, while you're Googling that, we have a special treat. We've got a special guest, a dad, Mike Thomas, who is an author. He has a book coming out called The Secret of the Hidden Scrolls, and it's book one in a series. And I'm excited about it because I'm always looking for good books for my kids. So, Mike, it is good to have you with us.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be with you.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Yes, my name is Mike, and I grew up in South Florida and ended up going to college at Liberty University, where my senior year, I met my wife, Lori. And I was a biblical studies major there. So we met our senior year, fell in love, and she liked Tennessee much more than I liked Florida. So we ended up settling here in Tennessee. We have two sons. My oldest son is in college at Ole Miss, University of Mississippi. And he is a senior, so this is his last year, hopefully. And he is studying public policy and economics. And my younger son, Peter, who is actually the lead in the books, is going to be in seventh grade this year. So we're excited about the middle school years. See what
that well, you're obviously a writer because that's what we're talking about. How'd you get into writing?
Well, it started, it's actually not my full-time job. Maybe someday, but right now, it started probably 4 years ago. You know, growing up, my heroes were always writers. I mean, I would spend lots of time in the library, and I'd actually ride the city bus to a mall and spend a lot of time in the bookstore there. And I loved everything about C.S. Lewis and Tolkien. And so my heroes were always writers. And so growing up, I wanted to be a writer. But then I ran into the problem of I'm a terrible speller. And I would get bad grades. And so I kind of tucked that dream away until this amazing thing called spell check was invented. And then the computer could correct me. So I was like, okay, that opens up writing again. And a few years ago, when my older son was a senior, I decided to start writing something for him. I kind of got to the point of like, have I given him the wisdom I wanted to hand on and things like that? I just haven't been real purposeful about it. So I started writing words of wisdom. Each week I would write him a card that was a word of wisdom, and then I would write kind of a story behind it. So that went well. He liked those. And then my younger son was in third or fourth grade at the time. And so I thought, well, I want to write something for him. That's when it kind of started. He had a book report. And so I was like, well, let me find a book for him to read. And I looked on the book report list, and I just didn't find anything that would help him grow in faith. I was looking for something that would be both exciting and help him grow in faith. And it just wasn't there. So I thought, well, let me go to the bookstore. And I went to Barnes & Noble, and there was tons of books for his age, but I just could not find anything that kind of helped him grow in faith. You know, there was stuff about wizard schools and everything like that. You know, those are fine, but I was just wanting something that he would like to read that would help him grow. And so since I didn't find it, I thought, well, let me just try writing one for him. And so I got him as the main character. And then I had I needed a girl character too, and so I based it on Mary, who is my niece. She's adopted from China and close to our family, and so I made her the second character. And then I thought, well, the story needs an animal. All great kids' stories have animals in them. So my dog's name is Hank, and so I thought Hank would be the perfect character. And so we had the characters, and so that's kind of how the book started. And I wrote it for him. He liked it and said, "Hey, Dad, why don't you read it to my class?" I'm like, "Ooh, I hadn't really thought of, you know, kind of spreading it past him." So I read it to the class, and they liked it. And they came up after and said, "Well, when's the next book coming out?" And I said, "Well, I haven't really thought about a next book." So that's kind of how it all started. So I read it from class to class, and then I did some self-publishing with it. And that was kind of the beginning of the journey.
Well, that's awesome. Now, it's called The Secret of the Hidden Scrolls, and this is book one, the beginning. Tell us kind of the premise about the book. You know, we don't want to give away the, you know, the store, but tell us what it's about.
Yes, it's about Peter and Mary, who are actually brother and sister in the book. I asked them if they wanted to be cousins in the book, and they said, well, that might be weird. So I said, okay. So made them brother and sister and their dog, Hank. And they have to go spend a month with their great uncle Solomon because their parents have, they're going out of the country to help build a school in Africa. And so they have to spend 40 days with their great uncle Solomon. And they're not real happy about this. But then they find out that great uncle Solomon is an archaeologist. And they also found out he made an amazing discovery about a year ago of scrolls. And the legend of the scrolls were that if you could open them, they would take you back in time, travel back through time to the story in the Bible that scroll is about. So one thing leads to another, and they actually find the scrolls, and they were able to open them, and they are transported back in time. This first book they're transported back to the creation. So they're going all the way back in time to the beginning. And so they have some help along the way when they get there. They encounter a lot of problems with, you know, that each day of creation holds. And then they also have another problem. They have to, there's a secret in the scroll, and they have to solve that secret or they are going to be stuck in the past forever. So that's the basic premise of the book. So they are going back in time into the Bible story, discovering the amazing things that God has going on, and then they have to solve the secret or they're going to be stuck there.
Well, I'm excited about it. And in fact, you sent me a sample. And I took your book, and we've got it at our family lake cottage in one of the bathrooms to get the kids to get them started. What do you want after the young person reads it? What do you want for them to take away from it?
What I want is for them to grow closer to God, to find something new about the Bible. You know, I believe that the Bible can change lives, or will change lives when you actually get into it. And what I found was, you know, when they're younger, when they're, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, there are some great Bible storybooks out there. I really like Jesus Storybook Bible, and there's some others that are really good. And kids can really engage at that age and kind of connect with what's going on. But then what I found was when you get to 6, 7, 8, 9, it's a little bit harder to find something. It's hard to jump all the way into the Bible story. It's hard just to hand start reading because some of the material is difficult to kind of read through and understand. And at that age, their imagination is at full throttle. You know, they like adventure. They like to be entertained. They like to be surprised. They like to figure out little riddles and clues. And so what I wanted to do was, you know, while they're at that stage and they're reading, you know, probably that age is also where they'll be reading more than they will for the rest of their lives. And so I was like, I want to take that window and engage them where their imagination is and help them connect with the Bible and with God in a special way. You know, I don't want to miss that opportunity for that age group.
Well, I know there are going to be some dads who want to get a hold of the book. How can they do that? Now, I know that it's going to be offered on Amazon. In fact, it doesn't come out for another 4 or 5 days, and there's already a used one on Amazon for $3. So
yes, here's what
was kind of, I don't know how they do that.
I think they did it by error, but it's okay. It's not supposed to be released until August 8th, and nice. So what happened was they started taking pre-orders. You could Amazon was doing pre-orders. Barnes & Noble is doing pre-orders, and I think ChristianBooks.com, they were all kind of doing pre-order campaigns. And we had something also on our website, which is at SecretOfTheHiddenScrolls.com, that if you pre-ordered, you could get some digital content, exclusive digital content. You know, it had a couple activity sheets, bookmarks, and things like that. And so we had all that set up, but then so people went on and ordered, you know, thinking, oh, I'll get up August 8th. And then a week ago, they started sending them out. And so people started posting pictures. Hey, I got my books. I'm like, whoa, what happened? And so, but it was fine. Amazon does that sometimes. They'll just ship stuff when they get it, even though it's. Mm-hmm. And so I asked my publisher to go, it's fine. It's good. Just let it get out there. And so then I was also, it was kind of cool. I was at Barnes & Noble, our local Barnes & Noble, 2 days ago. And I just went back to the children's section and saw my book there.
That's awesome.
So I can't guarantee that it'll be about, you know, what stores it will be, Barnes & Noble will be at. You know, I know as a company, they've placed an order, but it's kind of hit or miss on which stores actually books out. But there's no doubt they can get it on Amazon because I know they're actually taking orders now and they're shipping now. So Amazon.com, you can go there. There's actually also two books in the series. They're, even though this is right when they're coming out, they're releasing the first two books at once. The first one is about creation, and the second one is about the Ark, the flood story. So both of those are available at Amazon and at Barnes & Noble.
And then can they get them from your website as well?
Well, on my website, it's just going to have a link to take them to either Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
So they can go to the website, or if it's easier for them just to remember to go to Amazon, that's fine also. So that's and they can search for it either. Probably the best is Secret of the Hidden Scrolls.
Well, I hope you sell a whole bunch of them, Mike, and I'm excited. We'll let you know the feedback from the family Lake Cottage to hear what kids say, and I'm excited that book two is already out, so we won't have to wait very long to get that next book.
Yes. I'm excited for it to get out there and to hear the feedback, because I love, part of when I was writing it, I read it to groups of kids, and my main goal is not to write something cute or just straight up entertaining. I wanted to make sure they were actually connecting with it. And so any feedback that you can give me or your listeners can give me, I am completely open to the feedback and suggestions on how can I make this series better or what would be the next book that their kids would love to read.
Sounds great. So, Mike, if they want to contact you, can they do that through your website, or is there a better way to do that?
Yes, they could go to my website. Again, it's secretofthehiddenscrolls.com. And at the bottom, there's a link to my email. I'm also on Facebook, and that one's under Mike J. Thomas. And so they could contact me there. So either way.
Okay. Yep. Well, Mike, thanks for being on the show. Dads, I hope you check out The Secret of the Hidden Scrolls, book one, the beginning, and book two as well. So thanks for joining us, Mike.
Yes. Thank you very much for having me, Todd.
Well, Scott, I don't know about you, but I know that we're always looking for good books. And my kids have gone through some great series, like Chuck Black. He's written some great kind of medieval allegories that a whole bunch of books. He's even done some new ones, something about the light. But my kids love those books. My kids have read the series Hunter Brown, which again has it's a Christian kind of allegory. And I've got some reader's kids, so I'm hoping this Secret of the Hidden Scrolls will be another great book that will just point them to Jesus. So, Scott, did you find anything out about that solar eclipse? We kind of left you hanging there.
It does look like you can go blind. The warnings are true. It's not a good idea to look at a solar eclipse without the glasses. It can really damage your eyes. The warnings of total blindness might be a little exaggerated.
Really?
I don't know. So, let me look at that.
So that's give it a shot, Scott. I mean, for science.
Yeah. I'm not that into science.
Looking at a solar eclipse without goggles can make you stupid. So anyway, hey, we're going to jump from one thing to another here, Scott. We're going to go from talking to Mike to talking to someone who is recorded. In fact, we're not really even going to talk to him because we're going to record, or we're going to listen to a recorded session with Jason Dananay. I think that's how you say his name. Dananay. He's from Forest Springs, because come February the 11th through the 14th of this 2018, that's coming up, I'm going to be speaking at Family Winter Camp at Forest Springs up in Wisconsin, Westboro, Wisconsin. And we were there a couple years ago. We had an amazing time. But I thought we'd just re-listen to Jason's, our interview with Jason, and he can tell us firsthand what you should expect if you join us at Family Winter Camp in Westboro, Wisconsin at Forest Springs. So let's talk to Jason. So, Jason, thanks for joining us. Jason's the director of marketing there at Forest Springs. And, Jason, I assume you're up in Wisconsin right now. Do you have snow right now?
No, I think we're a few weeks past it, but last bit of it melted in April, so we're in good shape. We're in summer mode.
Well, Jason, why don't you just give us the listener just a little picture of Four Springs right now? You know, maybe how long has it been around? Where's it located? And what it looks like right now, not without snow.
Yeah. So Four Springs started back in 1958, primarily focused on youth camps. And, you know, it started off pretty humble with about 40 or so acres on a lake in north central Wisconsin. And so, you know, today we operate on about 570 acres. We call Four Springs. And what we really focus on now is really a ministry not only to youth but to families. So we do things like family camp and marriage retreats and things like that. And in youth camps, of course, which are going on now. And we also operate kind of an extension of Forest Springs in the western part of Wisconsin called Oak Forest Center, which is an adult retreat center. So over 55 plus years, it's grown quite a bit. And it's just it's great how God uses his creation to minister to people. So it's just good to be a part of it.
And, you know, in a couple months, in February, you're going to have a bunch of snow. And I'm going to be speaking at your family winter camp. What can a dad who's going to bring his family, what can he expect at family winter camp?
Yeah, you know, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I've got three young ones, and I find that it is very easy to say we're busy and kind of use that as an excuse to really not spend a lot of time together as a family. And so I look at winter family camp as an opportunity to be really intentional as a family. And so what we do is we provide great speakers, Todd, such as yourself, in an environment where, you know, families can get together, go through God's word together, be challenged together, enjoy recreational activities. You know, we have downhill skiing and snowboarding, lots of cross-country ski trails, snowshoe trails, tubing. I love tubing because it takes really no skill. You let gravity do the work for you. So lots of events to be, you know, to be busy in, but then also lots of spaces and opportunities just to kind of chill out and relax as a family. You know, I know some families are out there hitting the ski hill hard, you know, four or five hours a day. Others are just kind of hanging out around the fire and having hot chocolate and playing board games and things like that. So, you know, we do provide, you know, meals and speakers and session and that, but we also give families a lot of opportunity just to enjoy each other. You know, unfortunately, it seems like that time together is more precious, and we just need to be more intentional about taking the time to do that. So just a good opportunity to connect.
And Jason, maybe you can reiterate, or, you know, I think for a dad, we talked about it last week. You know, I just kind of pictured family camp as going, and I was going to just have an extended church service, you know, where I was just listening to a speaker for hours. That's not the case. There's really a lot of free time, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's two sessions typically, one in the morning and one in the evening. You sprinkle in some meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and, you know, really most of that time is, like you said, is free time. So I think you know, people come because they want to be encouraged by God's word and grow in their faith. But, you know, they're really here to say, OK, let's take this time and be intentional as family and let's kind of get to know each other, you know, more and grow in our relationships.
Tell us where would a family be staying? Because, you know, are we staying in tents here, or what's the deal?
No tents. We wouldn't do that in the wintertime. Yeah, basically, there are two different options for lodging at Forest Springs. One is our cabin option, which, you know, people have different ideas about what a cabin is. And essentially, our cabins are heated with private bathrooms and showers and sink areas, so there's no trudging through the snow to brush your teeth in the morning or go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. So comfortable accommodations that can sleep up to about eight or nine. So we can accommodate larger families. And and they're situated kind of right in the middle of the action for winter family camp. So there's no long hikes through the woods to get to your session in the morning or to get to the coffee shop or the ski hill. So nice and close. And then recently we added a large building, an expansion to our Neal Lodge building. And so we now have what we call lodge rooms, which are essentially hotel style rooms for families, can sleep up to about 5-6 people. And just, I would say a step up as far as accommodations go, less of a cabin and more of a hotel feel. So, we were talking about, people have different ideas of what camping is like. And so we would like to provide a couple different options.
Well, and we've been there a couple times in the wintertime, and there's, I wouldn't say almost always snow. There was one year it was a little slushy, but we still had an amazing time then. But last time we were there, it was Arctic, and there was gobs and gobs of snow. Yeah. And there were lots of options. We've talked about the different options, but I know there are a lot of dads who are thinking, yeah, but, how much is this going to cost me?
Sure.
Typically, what does winter family camp cost? What would it cost me?
Yeah, I mean, we have two different options, like I said, cabin and lodge rooms. And so for the cabins, it's $314 for the cabin and $104 per person. So we have a cabin and then plus per person. So for, say, a family of four or so, it would be roughly about $700. And then a lodge room is $419 for the room plus $104 a person. So just about $100 more than our cabin rate. So, we don't do kind of the Disney World model of pricing where we're, food is going to cost extra, activities are going to cost extra. This is pretty all encompassing. So, I think it's nice for families to be able to enjoy different activities and not necessarily have to worry about the price involved. I mean, we have things like ski rental and snowboard rental, but other than that, it's pretty all inclusive.
Well, you just mentioned something else because, if I was listening, I'm from, say, Fort Lauderdale. I don't have any skis. I've never been ice skating. Do I have to bring my own inner tube?
No, everything, we've got the inner tubes, we've got skis and snowboards. And also, if you're like me, also originally from Indiana area, I never ski before. I've never snowboarded before coming to camp. And so we have instructors that will teach you how to ski and snowboard. And that is free. So there's been thousands of people over the last 50 plus years that have learned how to ski at Forest Springs. So just a neat experience and obviously great memories.
Really, all my children have learned to ski at Forest Springs, and the instructors are great. And really, at Winter Family Camp, you have a lot of one-on-one. I mean, the instructors are just always over on the hills, and they're always there giving advice and giving tips. And I don't know, if you were in a big ski resort, if you could get that same kind of attention for such a long period, several days. So that's a really nice perk. So also, Jason, so say, there's a guy who's listening and he's from, far away from Texas. He's going to fly in. Where should he start looking to be flying into?
Sure. I mean, our closest airport is Central Wisconsin Airport, which is about an hour south of us. Typically, what people will do is fly into Chicago or Minneapolis and then kind of take a hopper plane, not a hopper plane, but, a smaller plane into Central Wisconsin Airport. Or they'll fly into Milwaukee or Minneapolis and rent a car. Either way, it's not a bad commute.
And I know, Jason, you better know this, but when I was talking to the director, Pat, he mentioned that, they might be able to even work out, some rides from the close airport back to Forest Springs.
Yep. We can definitely do that. So. We have several vans that, 15 passenger vans that can accommodate that. So, we usually just try to make it happen. So,
Well, that sounds great. Well, Jason, I sure appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. You know, if a dad is considering it, he can come to your website and tell me your website again.
Sure. It's www.forestsprings.us.
Well, thanks, Jason, for joining us, and have a great day. Hope you have a couple more days of summer anyway.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, again, if you're a summer dad, if you're a South Florida dad or California dad or Texas or Nashville or anywhere else, and you want to do a bucket list kind of thing, you should join us on February 11th through the 14th, 2018. Plan now at Forest Springs, Westboro, Wisconsin, for an amazing time at family winter camp. Now, they can't guarantee the snow, but I'll tell you, the last several times, they've had amazing weather. It's been cold and snowy, and the skiing is amazing. The tubing is amazing. Now, it's not like going to Colorado, but it's a great place to learn. I think all my kids have learned to snowboard and ski at Forest Springs, and they've got lots of other stuff. They do ice skating out on a pond. They do other things, and maybe Jason talked about those. You know, Dad, if you've been talking about it, if your kids have been like, oh, I've never seen snow, this would be a great opportunity to come and be encouraged as a family and to experience some snow. We're out of time. Dads, I hope you have a great weekend doing dad things. Whatever you do, do it with your kids. You know, like I said last time, we're running out of summer. If you got something to check off your bucket list, check it off this weekend. Have a great weekend. Don't forget, you to dad.
And that's our show for this week, dads. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. And a special thank you to Mike Thomas for joining us. Go check out The Secret of the Hidden Scrolls. You can get it on Amazon and at secretofthehiddenscrolls.com. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. And if you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, dads. Have a great week.
Pausing here. I should find the date.
It's okay. I wasn't paying attention anyway.
That's good.